Coming up on KUCB News, the polls are open in Unalaska, and the Aleutians East Borough is backing the federal government in a lawsuit against environmentalists. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, March 6th, 2018. Today is Unalaska's recall election, and voters are deciding whether to remove Mayor Frank Kelty from office. Kelty is accused of trying to broker an illegal dock agreement with the shipping company Matson, but he has continued to deny any wrongdoing.
I've done no side agreements on the dock issue. There's been no negotiations between myself and Matson. The only thing I tried to do is facilitate some meetings between administration and Matson and follow the council's directive of their interest in getting a PUA done between Matson and the city.
But the 10 people sponsoring the recall say Kelty skirted the public process by pushing a preferential use agreement with Matson rather than opening the dock to public bids. Unalaskans can vote at City Hall until 8 o'clock tonight. Tune in to KUCB after the polls close, when we'll bring you the preliminary election results as soon as they're available. In the past year, two ice seals have turned up in Unalaska way outside their natural range. The first was spotted last winter, and recently another was photographed near town. For KUCB and Alaska's Energy Desk, Zoe Sobel has more on these unusual visitors.
Ringed seals do not belong in Unalaska.
Ringed seals are ice-associated seals, so they live and kind of work around the ice. They want to haul out on the ice for pupping and molting and resting.
Melissa Good works for Sea Grant. She's lived in Unalaska 7 years and has only seen two ringed seals, both in the last year. Good was able to send last year's seal to the Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward, where the animal made a full recovery. But the most recent seal was not as healthy.
If you see a seal out of the water, laying on a rock, it looks kind of like a sausage. It's fat and it's round. When you start being able to see its hip bones and you see a hump on its back, that usually means that it doesn't have a lot of fat on it.
By the time Good was able to recover this seal, it was too late. The yearling had died. Results from a necropsy may shed some light on why there seem to be more ringed seals popping up in Alaska. The pathologist will look for unusual bacteria, parasites, or viruses. Good thinks parasites might be the key.
A lot of the marine mammals that they're getting into the center do have heavier parasite loads than they have normally saw in the past, and they're contributing a lot of these parasite loads to warmer water conditions.
It's too soon to know exactly what's happening, but Good says it could be a combination of things. At this point, though, she isn't too concerned. Good's optimistic with more community interest and awareness of marine visitors, she'll be able to respond faster to stranded animals and better note changes in the environment. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
The Aleutians East Borough plans to join the legal battle over a land exchange that would allow construction of a controversial road between King Cove and Cold Bay. In January, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke signed an agreement with the King Cove Corporation that would allow for a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge. Borough Assembly members voted last week to intervene on the side of the federal government in a lawsuit that environmental groups have now brought against the Interior Department to stop the road. The borough unanimously approved spending more than $60,000 to hire a law firm to help them join that case. The money will also help for other local groups trying to intervene on behalf of the government. That's the King Cove Corporation, the City of King Cove, the Ogdile Tribe, and the native village of Belkovsky. Senator Lisa Murkowski has added her name to a school safety bill, one of the first to emerge in the Senate after the Valentine's Day shooting at a Florida high school. The bipartisan Stop School Violence Bill does not impose gun control. It would allow the Justice Department to give grants to schools to make them more secure and for training to identify threats. It's one of the changes Murkowski said last month that Congress needs to make to help prevent school shootings.
We know that there's no simple, one easy answer for these acts of violence.
The Stop School Violence Bill authorizes $75 million this year and $100 million the next. But not all of that will be new spending. Some will be offset by cuts to an existing program, the Comprehensive School Safety Initiative. That Justice Department program was created after the 2012 school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. It has provided as much as $75 million a year for school safety research and pilot programs. But the Trump administration called for its demise last month, 2 days before the school shooting in Florida. Murkowski does not support proposals to ban assault-style rifles or to raise the age for buying guns to 21. Neither does Senator Dan Sullivan or Congressman Don Young. Both Sullivan and Young have called violent video games a possible factor in the incidents of school shootings. As we enter the third day of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, the majority of mushers are now crossing one of the most technically difficult sections of trail. As the route winds up the wooded hillsides of the Happy River Steps toward the jagged mountains around Pontilla Lake, they head through a narrow canyon toward the zigzagging Dalzell Gorge. And as APRN Zachariah Hughes reports, even years later, the infamous 2014 conditions along this stretch have left a lasting impression on mushers, one that they bring specialty gear for.
Jim Lanier did not become a 77-year-old musher by fooling around.
Well, the thing is, it's a contact sport.
Standing in the sunshine with his team of ghostly white huskies at the Finger Lake checkpoint, Lanier is wearing what looks like a black, high-tech exoskeleton.
It's sort of full-body armor. Neck to crotch, I'm covered. And elbows and knees, I got it there too.
The gear is technically for mountain bike racing, an upgrade from the hockey pads Lanier has worn in past years. The protective equipment is specifically for the 100 miles of trail through the Alaska Range, on past Roan and into Nikolai. Lanier has broken enough bones in the course of his mushing career to dress with precaution in mind.
It's like the old bold pilot thing. There's old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there's no old bold pilot. Same for mushers.
Lanier's hardly alone in treating this section of trail with extra reverence. One checkpoint ahead at Rainy Pass, Scott Jensen reaches into a drop bag shipped specifically for this particular part of the trail and pulls out a chest protector meant for high-speed snow machining.
It's all hard-sided, keep me from breaking some ribs. And then I got my boy's snowboarding helmet. I mean, better safe than sorry. I don't want to hit my head and get knocked out of the race.
In the 2014 race, when the downhill gorge was so icy there was no way to control dog teams as they charged over rocks and tree stumps, Jensen made it down relatively unscathed. But his luck ran out, going through the Buffalo tunnels on the way to Roan.
I crashed and got a concussion. About 4 hours later, I broke through some ice, ran back to my sled, slipped on the ice, broke my foot.
Jensen scratched that year, and the experience seriously affected him. He had bad anxiety in the 2 weeks before this year's race, stuck in thoughts about the most brutal parts of the trail. That's similar for Kelly Maxner, who in 2014 led the pack down the gorge and was the first to make it to Roan.
It is a little bit of PTSD from that. You know, I think anytime you're fearing for your life or anything like that, which I think that at that point in time I actually was, because that was pretty nerve-wracking through there that year.
Maxner did not pack extra protective gear this time around, largely because the snow conditions are vastly better, and because mushers were assured they would not face that degree of hazard again. An outcry after the 2014 race prompted the Iditarod to take extra precautions determining if areas of the trail were suitably safe. From overhead, the thin ribbon of trail snaking through the gorge had plenty of snow, but also plenty of open water, which could make for a soggy run out of the mountains. From Finger Lake and Rainy Pass on the Iditarod Trail, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Ryan Reddington is currently in first position on the Iditarod Trail. He led the pack of mushers who have already arrived at the Nikolai checkpoint. Rounding out the top five are Nicola Petit, defending champion Mitch Seavey, Yor Olsom, and Ray Reddington Jr. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.